And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, it is great to be back in San Antonio after traveling and teaching in so many different areas while I was in Romania. A lot of you followed us and prayed for us there, and I was so very thankful that the young people sat and listened. You know, I was so very impressed with these Romanian young people that just want to study God's Word. And as I taught for 4 hours a day for 5 days, that's 20 hours myself, and then my co-teacher, Pastor Dr. Heath Marion from Dallas, Texas, he came over and taught a class on leadership, and he taught 4 hours a day. So, and they were there just that whole week, just dedicated to studying and being there, and all the way up, I sat in, and at the end of the day, would come back in and listen to Heath's class after he had already taught for 4 hours, and those young people were still sitting there, tuned in and listening and taking notes and participating. For a teacher, that is just something that's very rewarding, to have students that want to sit there and listen. And 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, that was just something. And we had a great time. I mean, we landed, started teaching right away, and finished teaching, drove back to Bucharest that evening. And got into a hotel room about 12 o'clock at midnight, and had to be up the next morning about 4:30 to be at the airport, to then travel 24 hours, get home, and then Heath got home, and he went to preach, and he got home on Saturday night at 8:30, had to speak at two services the next morning, and I got home same time, and then left a day later to go to our conference in Chattanooga. People always say, man, we wish that we could do what you do and travel. It must be so nice. Well, you know, it's not the nicest thing in the world, but this is what God has laid before us. And both myself and my dad and my mother, they are going forward and doing what God has called them to do. And lots of pastors, preachers, missionaries, teachers of the Word are doing the same thing. And we thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for your prayers. And I think that we're just practicing what we preach. God has called us to do, and so we must do it. Whatever He's called you to do, that's our responsibility. He has a major plan for each one of us in our lives and what we should be doing, and where we should be doing it, and that's what we do. So we thank you for your prayers. We did have a great week at our prophecy conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Dad taught a fantastic course on the kingdom as taught in Matthew, the book of Matthew, and we went through that. That was great. Dave James did an excellent job on the signs, wonders, and miracles in the charismatic movement. So that was a great class. I think on our Prophecy Today radio network, I'm going to put some of those classes, little snippets, so that you get a taste of what was there. You can go to our website, become a part of our premium resource partners, that you can have access to these classes and you can listen to them, or you could join our School of Prophets. Some of you thinking about joining and furthering your education, which I think is so valuable, so very important, no matter where you're at in your life. You don't want to just sit down and do nothing. And sometimes as you get to the retirement age, sometimes that happens, and you get tired of doing nothing, and so you want to be busy. And some take up courses and start studying. And why not study something that you enjoy studying from great teachers? And our School of Prophets program is a great one. You can join with us at our different times of the year where we come together for a conference for true students of the Word, and come in and really to sit down and to fellowship with us, and also to study with us. As we sat there, this last conference. I was there helping and run the conference, but I was also studying, working on my doctorate degree. So, you know, I had a great time. It was just so relaxing. So I would have to say it was enjoyable, rewarding to sit there and to just be a student, to sit and teach in those classes. So I really enjoyed it. I encourage you to take a look at it. You can you might want to join our PASS program that we have. You might want to join our School of Prophets program and work on your master's. If you have your undergraduate degree, you could do that. And, you know, join with us and now become a part of being involved, working, being involved in your church. I guess going to a church that will let you be involved. Some churches nowadays don't want to kind of follow those things. So, you know, there's a reason why we are here. And some of the of us older generation, we have wisdom and knowledge to impart to the younger generation. And I encourage you to do that. By the way, the last couple of weeks, both Dad and I have focused on major events that people are talking about that were going to happen in the month of September. And I have been replaying that. And I have a major concern as to some of these things. And I have run and I am involved in a lot of different ministries and participate. I have I'm very active in my community here in San Antonio, Texas, and being a part of many different ministries, helping out whatever I can. Theologically, I might not agree with folks, but I can still help and work in an area and interact with them. My concern is what's going to happen to a lot of these people, and we've gotten a lot of questions, and that's why I've been playing a lot of some of the questions that Dad and I have been dealing with on the events and dates in September, what's going to take place, people having these questions. I'm very concerned about people that have, you know, really kind of put all of their focus and their drive and working in Bible studies and churches, even churches that are focusing on certain events that both Dave James and my father and myself, we have talked about some eschatological, for the lack of a better term, options that people have put out there about what's going to happen and when it's going to happen in the last days. So what happens when nothing happens in September and we just keep moving forward? That's why we focus really on God's word. What does God's word say? I'm very concerned about churches, about people that might be young Christians that have kind of bought into some of the blood moon theories and the Shemitah and all of these things, that it's real easy for some of these shepherds, I guess for the lack of a better term, as the scripture calls them, these pastors or these ministers have been sharing with their people, and I feel like they're misguided. They're leading some of their sheep astray. And so what's going to happen to some of these young newborn Christians, people that are not, haven't studied the Word of God, have just enough knowledge to know that there is something that's going to take place in the future, but really not really sure how it's going to play out. What's going to happen to some of these folks? Well, I think we have the responsibility, all of us, no matter what your eschatology is, to study God's word, to rightly divide the word of truth, as Paul told Timothy and that young group of believers in the church, and which we have a record of today, and it's there for us, so that we can rightly divide the word of God, to use it in a proper, study of it. And to help others. And I think, you know, we need to be very careful as to, you know, a lot of the people that we follow, even us. I'm encourage people. Check us out. If we disagree with what the Word of God says, then we want to give you that opportunity to challenge us, to explain ourselves. And we have done that in the past. We get a lot of questions about things that we've said. We get major questions about some things that either I said or that my father, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, that he has said, and we try to explain those things out. For instance, we've gotten a couple emails on Dad's stand on the mark of the beast, and I thought he did an excellent job at our last prophecy conference explaining his thoughts on that. I agree wholeheartedly with him, and I might play that, in the future here. Some people have asked, and I might put that into our, because he did an excellent job explaining his thoughts on the mark of the beast. But anyway, we need to have a spirit of love. Jesus Christ is the spirit of Bible prophecy. That's Revelation 19. And he is the spirit of Bible prophecy, Jesus. And so everything has to point to him. It's not pointing back to the Jewish holidays and the feast. As you study and as you listen to people, as you hear their teaching, their books, their videos, their teachings in churches, make sure that it coincides with what the Word of God says. You know, Dave James, we were talking about our topics for next year at our conference, and I believe that Dave is going to do a how to study the Word of God in light of Bible prophecy, and I am so looking forward to that. I was yesterday in one of the local Christian bookstores. I was, just looking around. I haven't walked into one nowadays with the internet age. We have all those books right at our fingertips, so there's not much need to walk into the Bible bookstores anymore. But I was in there, and there are so many studies on the Word of God and how to, be successful and all of these things. And I'm so looking forward to Dave James teaching about, how to study the Word of God in light of Bible prophecy, how to do that. I think that's so very important. I mean, over 30% of God's Word talks about future events, prophetic events. And if God spent that much time in the way that he communicates with us, how much more important should we spend on those topics, understanding them? And really, it helps us to understand the times in which we're living. So I'm looking forward to that next conference in April. We'll give you the times and dates on those topics and subjects and what we'll be covering. Dad will be covering a very interesting topic on the city of Jerusalem, past, present, and future, God's holy city. Looking forward to that class also. So keep us in prayer as we are doing our work and the things that we're doing. And we really appreciate the amount of information and questions that are sent in to us. And as I try to respond to everybody, either in an email or on our Prophecy Q&A program. And since this is a Q&A program, let's get to some of those. We get a very positive note from a person that says, "Hey, I received the devotions on Genesis. You all are a blessing to me. I will be teaching from September 6th through November 29th. I can't thank you enough. God bless you and your ministry." And she had Jimmy, and I'm not sure if Jimmy, this is a female or a male, but Jimmy sent this in to us, and I sent back our devotions to him on the Genesis, and he got that, and they'll be teaching that, and that's great. Do that. Take those devotions. I mean, these are really sermons, our daily devotions that Dad sends out to all of those people that want them, that request them. We send those out to people. I don't know. We don't sell those names. We don't give them to anybody else. We really don't try to badger you with a lot of a please or begging for donations. Every once in a while, you'll get one from me or from our organization to help us to go to a country to teach or to be involved in evangelistic outreach. But I mean, it's very minimal. But these daily devotions are something that you could use in a Bible study and teaching, and obviously Jimmy's doing that. Thank you, Jimmy, for that kind word. We really appreciate that. That's an encouragement to us. Our next question comes in from Bill. He says, I am Jewish and a follower of Jesus Christ. Some people say I am no longer a Jew. I consider myself a Messianic Jew. What do you say about this subject? Well, Bill, we have taught that there are three strands of the human family, and you can only be one of those three strands of the human family, a Gentile, a Jew, or a Christian. And Gentiles were on the earth for the first 2,000 years only. Gentiles, that's from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 12. Then the second people group comes on, and in the Gentile world, there were lots of people, lots of division of nations that came into order. That's Genesis chapter 10. So, but the Gentile world pertains to those people that were living at that time. In Genesis chapter 12, Abram gets a call out of Ur of the Chaldees, comes over into the land of promise. God promises him that his descendants would be as the stars in the heaven, that those that bless you, I will bless them. Those that curse you, I will curse you, and promises him a great nation. And out of that, out of Abram making that trip by faith, God brings in the next strand of the human family, and that's the Jewish people, God's chosen people. And we see the history of the Jewish people from Genesis chapter 12 all the way. And this is the next strand that's on the earth for the next 2,000 years with the Gentile people are the Jewish people. So we see these two strands of people that have come into existence. And then, of course, in Acts chapter 2, we see the third strand, which is the Christians or the body of Christ that have, or the church after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter preaches that first message where 3,000 are added to the body of Christ, to the church. And then as he carries forth that message to the Gentile people through first going to Cornelius at Caesarea. That's Acts chapter 9 and 10. As he carries forth, he receives that vision. He's going to take this message to the unclean world, which is what the Gentiles were known as. And then we see this as the church begins to grow. So, Bill, we see that there are three strands. Now, let me just say this. If you're Jewish by birth, that's your blood, that's your nationality. You don't lose that. Of course, you're going to be Jewish by birth, but your spiritual, area that you line up with now is that once you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you cross from one people group to the next people group, to the other strand. For instance, I'm a Gentile. I'm Scottish by birth. I think we have Scottish blood in us. I think we have Cherokee. We have Dutch. We have my mother's side is German. So, I mean, I have that heritage. So I don't stop being any of those things. But I was a Gentile before I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. A Gentile, by definition, is someone that doesn't know, that's not a Jew by birth, or is not a that has not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. A Gentile is a pagan, an unsaved person, and that lost world, the nations that are out there that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But once I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I became a Christian. I am no longer a Gentile, and the same thing with the Jewish, with these three strands of the human family. God has a specific plan for each of those three strands. At this point in time, God's way of putting together a plan of redemption for mankind is by believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, went to the grave, 3 days later rose from the grave. By going to the cross, he paid for our sins. And Ephesians chapter 2 talks about this death that Jesus went through on the cross and paying for our sins, that there's no way that we could have paid for our sins. Christ paid that through his death. Through his death, two people have become one. Gentiles, Jews have become one through the removal of that partition, through his death. Two people now become one. And you can only be one of those three people groups. When you're a Gentile, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're no longer part of the strand of the human family that's a Gentile, because God has a specific plan for the Gentile people. If they don't accept his way of redemption, they will spend eternity in the lake of fire, and they have to accept Christ. That's the only way to get to heaven. So Bill basically saying, you're still a Jew by blood. You still have that blood and your nationality, but terms have meanings and words have meanings in the scripture. And you can call yourself a Messianic Jew. We don't think that that's a good... in fact, both Peter and Paul wrote several letters addressing this situation to those early believers that were mixing together, and the Jews thought that they were something special, and that those Gentiles coming into the body of Christ should, you know, should put themselves under the law. And both of them address this situation, both of those men, and from their different perspectives, address those situations. You should look at scripture and find out, you know, the writer of Hebrews said that, hey, the law doesn't take away sin. It never did. It was not a complete way of redemption. And through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is the complete. So, Bill, just take a look at that. Study God's word. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that call themselves Messianic Jews. I think you have to look at why people do that. You don't receive a double blessing. Once you leave one of those groups, you can only be one of those three groups. And once you leave one, you go into the other. There are Jews in Israel. I could take you to a group, a body of believers, Menno Kalosher, Sabra, born in the land of Israel, his father, Svi Kalosher. They're Jewish. His brothers, they call themselves Christians. They don't call themselves Messianic Jews. So, Bill, just I would study more about this and be careful about your terms. Sometimes using those terms can cause division. Sometimes we have ulterior motives for calling ourselves those things. The body of Christ is not supposed to be divisive. There are large passages of scripture that address that issue. So anyway, thank you, Bill, for sending in that note to us. And I encourage you to go to God's word and see what the word of God has to say about that subject. And I think if you look through scripture, you'll never see that term Messianic Jew or anything like that. Those terms applied to the body of Christ or the church were just that. They were called Christians, Acts chapter 11. So take a look at it. Anyway, thank you, Bill. Keep studying God's word, and thank you for the note that you sent to us. Let's see. Our next question comes from David Gibbs. He says, I've been a student of your teaching for several years and enjoy listening to your programs each week. I'm very particular about things I read. I've been looking for a good Bible study app or for my iPhone and iPad. Do you have any recommendations for one that contains solid commentary, dictionary, maps, etc.? I'm thankful for your ministry, David Gibbs. Well, David, thank you for that note and encouragement to us. And let me just tell you, there are lots of them. Logos out there is a very good Bible study. It's very expensive. I happen to use the Olive Tree Bible app, and I can purchase. You can purchase different Bibles on there, different versions, translations and of the Bible, and different commentaries, maps, study helps. So I purchased the Olive Tree Bible app. I think it's actually free, and then you develop an account, and then you can start buying and adding to it, because they put a couple of commentaries there. Here's what I have. I have several versions of the Bible on there. And I love to use the King James version of the Bible, but I like to look at the New King James. I like to look at the NASB. I like to look at the NIV, the ESV. I look at the Message. I look at all of those. I like to read them all and see just different perspectives on them. But I have the King James Strong Concordance. And the verses and words are highlighted there, and with a Strong's Concordance gives you the Greek meaning, the Hebrew. You can go back, look at cross-reference different things. I also use the Bible Knowledge Commentaries. I happen to really like those. Those were developed by several professors at Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Walvoord, Dr. Roy Zook, and Dr. Pentecost. Charlie Dyer. These are all men that I highly respect, and that's what I do. I find men that I respect that I agree with them theologically on passages that I think are very important. So therefore, that gives me the confidence to know that most likely all their commentaries on other passages are tried and true. So I like to use that. So that's what I use. The Baker Bible Illustrated Commentaries gives you a dictionary, I would say that is. It gives you a lot of maps along with all of these. There are maps are available that come and that will help you. And so that's what I do, David. That's I know that there is also the 360, or I think it's called, it used to be called the Bible 360 Bible, the Glow Bible now, which has a lot of information, resources. That's a program that you can download, give you a lot of maps, videos, things like that to go along with it. Good commentary. We happen to have a couple commentaries on Revelation, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Those are available online, so you can add those into, this books and use those. But those are some of the things that we have, David. But thank you for sending in that question and asking us about that. I think it's very useful to provide tools for people as they are serious students of the Word of God, and that's really what we should be. I tell people this, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the word. But as we mature and become more Christ-like and grow in our maturity, we move on from the milk to the meat of the word. And it's very important that you study the word of God and to make sure that, there are people out there that give you information that will chew the food for you and then feed it to you and put it in a way that's easy to understand. But there's nothing like getting into the Word of God and systematically going through the Word of God and seeing how it all plays in from Genesis to Revelation. That's God's game plan. And that's a good thing to do. So great. Great job, David. Keep studying the Word of God. Let's see. Our next question. Facebook question comes in from Dustin Collins. I've seen you talk a few times at People Baptist Church in McDonald, Georgia. This past week, my mom and I have been talking about the rapture over the phone. I'm in Texas. She's in Georgia. Our concern is, will there be a nuclear catastrophic war before the rapture? We know the U.S. is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. The rapture itself is not our fear. Our fear is our family will be separated before the rapture and we won't have any way of knowing if each other is okay. What happens to the United States? Is the Gog and Magog war before or during the rapture? Thank you and have a great day. Well, thank you, Dustin, for sending this in. And we have addressed this before because it certainly is on our minds right now, what's happening around the world. As we look at Bible prophecy, the next thing that we believe that's going to happen is the rapture of the church. That is an imminent event. We believe that as you look at God's timeline through our studies, we believe that the rapture is the next thing. Now, I know that there are people that believe otherwise, that the rapture will be at the midway point of the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation. We happen to believe it's pre-tribulation. And we get that from the scripture. We've taught that, and you can go to all of our studies and take a look at that. But so answering your question, will there be a nuclear catastrophic war before the rapture? Now, the rapture, I believe, could happen before this program is over today. It could happen before the day's over. I believe we are living in the last seconds, according to world events. And as I look at Scripture, Dad and I, and we take a look at it, I believe it could happen at any moment. But the rapture might not happen for another 10 years. I doubt it, but I thought that 10 years ago we were really close to the rapture taking place. It doesn't change my thinking just because we keep going on. There's one thing that's keeping God from sending his son to collect the body of Christ. As it's talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as Jesus referred to it in the upper room in John chapter 14. And that is Christ, that God is not willing that any should perish. He is long-suffering toward us all. He's holding the gates of heaven open. But because we are seeing events taking place, each day we feel like we're getting closer and closer to that event to take place. But it might not be for another 10 years, and that's God's plan, whatever he has. And so we need to be busy. Now, that leads me to the second part of this question. Will there be a catastrophic war, a nuclear catastrophic war? As we look at Bible prophecy, one of the things that we see, again, is this Gog and Magog war that you brought up. That's Ezekiel 38. The nations that are listed there are the nations that are very much involved on the world scene today. And if you have your Bible, take a look at Ezekiel 38, and we see these nations, and again, using hermeneutics, studying of Scripture, understanding where these nations and who these nations are, we can determine that by going all the way back to Genesis chapter 10, when the divisions of nations, people, languages, land came into being in Genesis chapter 10 when they were divided. And here we see in Ezekiel 38, we see the nations that are mentioned. Of course, Gog and Magog, as you refer to it, Magog being that land north of the Black and Caspian Sea, which is modern day Russia. Meshach, Tubal, in verse 2. Down in verse 6, Gomer and Togarma, that's modern day Turkey. Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma, that's modern-day Turkey. And then you have other nations that are listed, Persia, which is, up until 1937, what was known as Persia today has been divided up into three land areas, Iran, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. Now, if you notice something, Dustin, all these nations are nations that we're talking about. And these are the alignment of nations, along with Libya, along with nations in two countries in Daniel chapter 11, the king out of the north, which would be Syria, the king out of the south, which would be Egypt, along with nations in Psalm 83 that are going to come against Israel, this alignment of nations that are going to come against Israel. And we believe that is the second horse that is revealed, the second horseman of the apocalypse, when Jesus Christ opens the first seal, which is the man on a white horse. The second seal is a man on a red horse. That's Revelation chapter 6. Why do we say that? Because Ezekiel 38 says the alignment of these nations coming against Israel will come when Israel is living at a time of peace. The only time that Israel lives at a time of peace is when the Antichrist comes on the scene. That's that first seal, Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. That first seal of a man on a white horse wearing a crown, carrying a bow with no arrows, that's representative of the Antichrist that comes on the scene. According to Daniel chapter 9, the first thing that the Antichrist does, I believe the first thing that he does is he sets up his headquarters in the city of Rome, establishes the false church. But the event that kicks off that tribulation period is he confirms a peace agreement with Israel. And so he provides a false peace for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And for the first 3.5 years, so in Ezekiel 38, it talks about when this event, these nations will come against Israel.
And it's in verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. That's a term that means that it's a military term. That means that Israel is living at peace. I will go up where there are unwalled villages. There's no wall of protection around the villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. So we see that this alignment of nations that are going to come against Israel happens in the first, I believe it happens within the first 6 months of the tribulation period. And when the Antichrist provides this peace agreement, and all of a sudden these nations that are mentioned, that we mentioned, Ezekiel 38, Psalm 83, Daniel 11, these nations, the common denominator, Dustin, is that they're all Islamic and that they're going to come against Israel. We're seeing that right now. That's why we're using this. Now, will there be a nuclear catastrophic war? I cannot tell you that there will or there won't be. We've seen, you know, many millions of people. And in fact, in the last couple of years, we've seen total devastation in Syria of the amount of people that have died there. And as ISIS is moving, catastrophic war, not with Israel. Israel will not be wiped out. But I cannot tell you that there's nothing that says that there wouldn't be. And I'm not sure what your term catastrophic. I'm sure that's a total devastation is what we saw in Japan with Hiroshima. You know, will that take place? Israel, it won't happen with Israel being wiped off the face of the map, which is what Iran is calling for, and that they would use these nuclear devices that they possibly could develop. And I think that they are much farther along than what our government says that they are, what Iran says that they are. And I believe Israel has their eye on that situation and will not let that happen. But I know what Scripture says, and so I don't think that there will be a nuclear event. I cannot be for certain about it, but it will not involve Israel being wiped off the face of the map. Does that mean part of Israel could possibly suffer from something that kept, you know, that could come across a missile that would be fired at them because they are sending warplanes or some way to take out the nuclear reactors and facilities in Iran? That very well could happen, but Israel will not be wiped off the face of the map. As a matter of fact, according to Ezekiel 39, 5-6 of these nations that are going to come against Israel will be wiped out. Take that for, take the scripture at what it says. I have to go by that. And so I don't live, I appreciate your concern, but we're not to be living in a spirit of fear, Dustin. We know what God's word says. We know if you have put your trust and you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you know that he's going to watch out. The worst thing that can happen to us on this earth is the best thing. The worst thing is that we die. The best thing is that, yes, we will be in heaven. But that doesn't, it's not very comforting to our family that's left behind and how those things will happen. You know, there have been other times in history where Christians have been separated, families have been separated. When you look at the world wars, World War I, World War II, the wars that have taken place, families were separated, families lived in fear, families, whole families were taken out, and children were left as orphans. Those things can happen, and very well could happen in our lifetime. Let's be prepared. Let's keep growing. Let's keep being concerned about making sure that our families know Jesus Christ, that our neighbors, that those that are closest to us, that the world is without an answer. They're without a hope, but we have that blessed hope. Anyway, Dustin, I hope that helps you. I know I get this question a lot from people. They're very concerned about when it will take place. I believe that these nations will come against Israel, but I believe it happens after the rapture of the church. Does that preclude any type of catastrophic event happening beforehand? Don't think so. I mean, whether it be a natural disaster, I think that we have seen in our lifetime, we've seen large numbers of people
being wiped out. We've seen military events that have wiped out large numbers of people and still could happen in the future. But we do know that God holds it all in his hands, the control. He's a sovereign God. And keep praying. Keep very busy. I'm glad that you're talking to your mother about it and talk to the rest of your family. Thanks, Dustin, for sending in. Hope that helps you. We do have this hope, that blessed hope. I look forward to it. But, with family members, you get very concerned about your children. How will your children survive when you're gone? I have at the age of 55, I have a 13 and an 11-year-old, and I'm concerned. should the Lord tarry, how are they going to make it without dad around to protect them? Well, God will be their dad. He will be their father. He will protect them. And it's my job to train them up in the way that they should go. Thank you for your question, Dustin. And again, thank you all for sending in the questions. Okay, so listening, this message comes in from Art. And he says, okay, so listening to the podcast regarding the danger of Rand Paul because he may be too much like his daddy, i.e. non-interventionalist. Now, honestly, I don't care for any of them, but really, especially don't vote for this guy because he may be like his dad. Really? Well, I don't know. I don't think Dave James, and to bring you up to date, for those that haven't listened, Dave James and my father, Dave James has been giving some background on the presidential nominees. We do think it's very important to be aware. My wife, who's very involved in politics, and very involved, she asked me, so, did you watch the debate last night? And I said, actually, I was at church working with some seventh grade boys in our local church youth group. And that was, I had my hands full with that. But I'm not as much concerned about the debates right now. We'll wait I'll wait. I told my wife I'm going to wait until the numbers get down even lower. But I think what Dave James is doing is just making people aware of the background on some of these men so that we might, with intelligence, and I don't think he said don't vote for Rand Paul. I produced the program. My father and Dave James, as they're talking about these things, they're just giving you some information, things to be aware of, but things to be concerned. But certainly we're not endorsing anybody. We're not telling you not to. There are certain things that we look at. How do the candidates stand on life, on the abortion issue? Are they pro-life or pro-choice? We look at how they stand on marriage, the sanctity of marriage as it's laid out in God's word, and how they stand on the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. I think those are three very important topics to find out how a candidate feels on those topics and subjects. And so I think that that's all that we are doing. So I think if you listen to it again, you'll see that I think that that's what our criteria are, and we're just helping people to understand, doing our civic duty as men that a lot of people listen to. This country pre-Truman, I'll just read the rest of your statement, Art. This country pre-Truman was just fine without all the European wars, but regardless of what the USA does, biblical prophecy will come out on the line. Or as we used to say in the Navy, stand by for heavy rolls as the ship is coming about, and Catholics are Christian. And, well, we can disagree on that one, Art. But I believe, yes, you're absolutely right. Then the Supreme Court must be the best thing this country has going, huh? There's a lot of sarcasm in your question, Art. Go back and listen to it. I think you'll find out. And on a lot of the things that you have talked about here, seems like you're covering a lot of the issues that both Dave and my father have found very interesting concerning the body of Christ, addressing those issues. And thank you, Art, for sending that in. And Lord bless you, brother. Keep studying. And we're waiting for things to take place. We're waiting for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, which begins with the rapture of the church, Art. So thank you for sending in that question. We really appreciate it. Our final question this week comes from Janelle. And Janelle's a faithful listener of our Prophecy Q&A and sending in a lot of thought-provoking questions. She says, what advice would you give to the Israelis who are so-called doomsday preppers and who are busy stockpiling food, water, guns, and ammunition to ride out the time of Jacob's trouble? And this would be the same, you know, it's not just in Israel where they have this. And they, Israeli preppers, the doomsday preppers, a lot of them read the Old Testament prophets, understand and have an idea about the time of Jacob's trouble. But there's no way that you can prepare. There's no way that anybody can prepare for the time of Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble is a reference to the tribulation period, that seven-year period of time, or the day of the Lord, 72 times in Scripture, the day of the Lord, the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. Passages are mentioned, and that's referring to that seven-year period of time talked about in Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21. Daniel referenced it. Ezekiel referenced it. Zechariah. So we see that there are lots of references, and the Jews, Israelis, read the Old Testament. They're not necessarily looking at the New Testament. Now, it would be the same information, this is the same advice I would give to Christians in the United States that are reading about the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation, or the day of the Lord, that seven-year period of time. If you know the Lord is your personal Savior, Jesus Christ, I don't believe we're going to be here. The rapture is going to happen before. That's what I believe. So that would be my first to Christians. How do you understand? What's your understanding of Bible prophecy? For Jewish people, my thought would be to tell them about how Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came to this earth to die, and pointing that according to their prophet Daniel, Jesus had to appear in the city of Jerusalem and then be cut off for a period of time. And that pertains, as a matter of fact, Jewish people that have churches, Christians in Israel, Jewish Israelis that are believers, that are Christians, that have accepted Christ, that are running churches, that are doing evangelism, they use this prophecy in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, to warn people about a coming day of the Lord, time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. And so, you know, I would first tell them that the Messiah has already come. He's died for their sins, that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I would first tell people, because there's no way you can prepare. And that's the same way I tell people here in the United States. There's no way you can prepare for this time of Jacob's trouble. When you look at those judgments that are going to be unleashed on the earth, half of the world's population is going to be gone during this seven-year period of time. Human consumption of food is going to be next to nothing. A loaf of bread is going to take a day's wages. When you look at these judgments on the sea, on the fresh water, on the mountains, on the land, what happens to this earth? How can anybody prepare? I laugh when I watch some of these Christians on TV. I'll be very kind, because I am not a judgment of, you know, whether they've accepted Christ, but their eschatology about trying to get people to buy and store up food. Do you understand what's going to be unleashed during this seven-year period of time? Man has no idea. In our feeble minds, we cannot even begin to understand what's going to take place in this time of Jacob's trouble, the day of the Lord, any time when God intercedes with the affairs of man on earth, the tribulation period. There's no way that we can prepare. Anybody could prepare. I try to prepare people, at least be prepared to understand that God sent his only son to die for them, to die for the sins of mankind. And the only way to God is through his son, Jesus Christ. And so, Janelle, as much as I don't know that that would be helpful to them, because most Jewish people today see Jesus Christ as the Messiah for the Christians, not as their Messiah. They're preparing for him to come. They understand that the Messiah is going to come and that there will be this time of Jacob's trouble and that there will be a major war. They understand all of that, but they don't understand that Jesus Christ, that the Messiah, whoever he is, I believe he's Jesus Christ, but in the mind of the Jewish people, the Messiah had to be here in the city of Jerusalem and be cut off, according to their prophet Daniel. Anyway, thank you. Great question, Janelle. Hopefully that helps you. Good things to think about. And let's make sure that we study Bible prophecy and use it in our lives as a way of promoting us to live holy, pure, productive lives in an unholy world, and not to be misled by Satan and to be distracted by those things around us, to remember God's plan for mankind and how that plan is laid out for us in his word, how we as followers of Christ, followers of God, are to figure out, to study God's word, the way that he communicates with us, and to understand our role, to find out what God wants us to do while we're on this earth and do it. That's my encouragement to you today. And to, as you look at the things that are happening around the world, we are living in the last moments. So let's be productive in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our world in which we live. Let's be productive. Let's live a pure life. Let's live a holy life. And let's tell others about what God has done for them. Thank you today. Man, keep watching the news. Keep understanding. Keep studying. As we're watching it, we can't help but think we are getting so very close to the rapture of the church, perhaps even today. So let's keep looking up. Until.